Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Well, guess what? This week, we go no guest. That's right. The band's back together, Brad and I, doing this one solo. It was a lot of fun. You know what? We love having guests, but when it's just the Jew and the dwarf, we just, I don't know, we lock in. We get really comfy and really just... It's fun making each other laugh and talking about all sorts of crazy shit. This episode was particularly one of my favorites because it's just so silly and but also real. We got down to some real shit and it's a lot of fun to listen to. I hope you enjoy it. Some real quick announcements. Please, if you haven't picked up a copy of my CD, Pop-Tart Suicide, go to iTunes, go to AdamRayTV.com. Go to AboutLastNightPodcast.com to get it. And when you go to AboutLastNightPodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping through that banner, because then we get a couple of coins from it. And, you know, we like coins because I'm Jewish. And Brad is magical because his people, leprechauns, they enjoy coins as well. So please pick up a copy of the album. If you haven't seen my Craig Ferguson set, it's on my website, AdamRayTV.com. He mentions it. He's like, Pop-Tart Suicide, in his Scottish accent. It was the shit. Craig is the man. I hope to be back on there soon. He was so generous to have me on and plug my CD. If you want to see me in Las Vegas, I am there tonight through Sunday at the Tropicana, headlining the Laugh Factory. Shows are at 8:30 and 10:30 every night. Get your tickets at laughfactory.com. It's Vegas, baby. My face and name is up on a marquee. As my friend texted me, he goes, man, Elvis, Sinatra, and now A-Ray. I was like, wow, dude, that's definitely not the order of people that you think of when you think of Vegas. But shit, man, they had their names on marquees and now I do. So I guess I am in that company. Not as far as like, you know, being a that successful of a performer, but hey, if we're talking about just, you know, in the same group of marquee, you know, people that have had marquees, yeah, I'm in that boat now. So suck it, Rita Rudner. if you're playing at home, that's drink two every time I say suck it, Rita Rudner, on the intro. Brad Williams. And you can find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Go ahead and keep tweeting at us. Rate and subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. Give us a 5-star rating. And comment on iTunes, damn it. Because when you comment, that's how we jump in the ranks and continue to get great guests. We have so many dope guests coming up. It's not even funny. John Stamos is confirmed. Adam Carolla is confirmed. Doug Benson is confirmed. Working on some other dope people. Melissa McCarthy is confirmed to be on in July. It's a lot of fun. Adam Devine from Workaholics and Pitch Perfect and Modern Family, my homie, who's taking me on the road with him to do all these colleges, which has been a blast. He is coming back on after he finishes Pitch Perfect 2 and season 2 of his stand-up comedy showcase show for Comedy Central, Adam Devine's House Party. Anyway, that is it for me. Vegas, also, after Vegas, I'll be headlining the Punchline in Sacramento May 1st through the 4th. Get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. Brad Williams, find him on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Brad's going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas. This is a big deal. That festival is getting bigger and bigger. He's a part of a dope lineup of big-time comics, and Brad is a part of that elite group, as well as he should be. He's a fucking powerhouse. If you haven't seen him live, you got to do so. See him in Austin April 23rd through the 26th at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, or May 1st through the 4th at the Funny Pone. What? That's not even funny. That's not even a comedy club. The Funny Pone. All right, I should edit that out. The Funny Bone in Newport, Kentucky, May 1st through the 4th. They'll also be at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, May 9th through the 11th. And then, of course, I'll be with Brad at the Irvine Improv, May 22nd through the 25th. Get your tickets at improv.com. Oh, and I filled in for Adam Carolla on the Adam Carolla Dr. Drew podcast last week. You can hear those episodes of me and Dr. Drew hanging out, talking, getting real, April 24th and April 27th at adamandrewshow.com. I think that is it. That is it. Please enjoy this episode. Brad Williams, Adam Ray. The band's back together. Yeah. Reunited and it feels so good.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
Yeah.
Girl.
You feeling that?
Oh, I'm feeling that.
You know what that means.
What does that mean, girl?
That means there's no guest today, Adam Ray.
Oh, shit. I want a
team. Yeah. That means it's just you, me, and the candles, Adam Ray.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. No one coming in here to promote no movies.
Okay. Let Keith Sweat do the talking, man.
Keith, do your thing, boy. I want your body.
All right.
Now it's getting awkward.
Yeah, now it's getting weird.
Now it's getting awkward.
Keith Sweat, you are setting the mood, and now you're making it super uncomfortable.
Listen, I love your music. I love what you do. But
big fan of your music.
But when I have an erection alone in a room with my buddy with candles lit, it gets a wee bit awkward.
It gets a little awkward.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what's not awkward. Being back with no guest. We haven't done this in, I don't know,
2 months or something.
God, it's been a while. But with good reason. We had a plethora of amazing great guests, including this moth who has just come back from the dead from the Ben Jiggly episode.
Wow, he's back. It happens. He's like, you know what? Fuck that. You're gonna have a guest. It's gonna happen. I don't care.
Find a way to talk to me.
But it's not like, sure, when you have great guests, it's always fun to interview people. And,
yeah, you're not gonna turn down
and learn things.
Bob Saget or
sure.
Yeah. Or
how great was Ron Funches?
Ron Funches, Jesus,
just being smiley.
That was one of my favorites.
Like a black Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You just wanted to, or maybe just a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. If he's a little extra crispy,
sure.
He was just fun.
Yeah, he was great. And and our buddy Brent Morin, also from the show Undateable,
which I can't wait to see.
But yeah, it's nice to be back for this one. We did do a 100th episode, by the way. Some of you. We're hitting us up like, hey, you guys have gotten to 100. Where's the special 100th episode?
And we did one.
We did one. But we're not going to release it, at the 100th, like as the 100th.
That would be too easy.
Yeah.
That would make too much sense.
No, we're going to go ahead and hold on to it because of may or may not because of technical difficulties.
We have it. We recorded it.
It went great. We did it at Flappers, Yoo-Hoo mm-hmm. Room. We had a special guest, Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Or somebody who sounds very much like him.
Sure.
but that episode will be out next week and get ready to enjoy the first live episode. It won't be the last.
No, we're going to do some more. I know Flappers liked it. They called me recently and said we want to have more of those. So we will be doing more live episodes at Flappers. So you can see, as the great Adam Carolla said, come see how the fudge is packed. You could come check us out live.
Speaking of Adam Carolla,
man, yeah,
we are getting deeper and deeper into that fudge.
Oh, oh man,
you so kindly brought me in. You kind of had already had a little relationship with them.
Yeah,
from what?
From K-Rock,
right? Because Kevin and Bean also a big Carolla supporter.
Sure,
and vice versa.
Yeah, that's where he got his start. And Kevin and Bean sent me over to Loveline, which has Dr. Drew on it,
and Mike Catherwood, who we've had on the show.
Absolutely.
And so you got in there, and then when we could start this podcast, once we got a little steam going, you were like, "Hey, can Adam and I come in and promote the show and do this as a team,
as a dynamic duo? You were my Burt Ward to my Adam West. I wish I could do a fucking Adam West impression. I can't.
Brad Williams. Oh, jeez.
Hey.
Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
That's not bad.
On the Adam Carolla show.
That's a pretty good Adam West. Ralph Garman's got fucking company.
Well, all Adams have to be able to do an impersonation of some other Adam.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I hear Carolla does a killer you.
Yeah, he does. Well, most people do a killer me because they just go, hey, what's up, I'm Adam Ray.
Just kind of like Tony Danza. Yeah, but I got great hair.
thank you. So then we went in there and we did Carolla's show and had a lot of fun, and then Carolla was kind enough to let me come back solo, and when he came out, and now I'm going back later this week. This podcast will come out when I've already been on. So thank you, Adam. Had a blast again. And then we went on Adam and Dr. Drew's show, which was awesome because then we got to build some rapport with Drew, had him on our podcast, who crushed it. And now I just came back. We had to push the time of this podcast back a little bit because I did, you and I both filled in for Dr. Drew today and did two back-to-back episodes because Adam Carolla is filming his movie, Road Hard. Which you have a part in.
I do.
Tell me about that.
I play Brad Williams.
Oh, Jesus.
The role of a lifetime.
Yes. I was literally born to play this. I mean, don't get me wrong. Thank God that I had Barry Katz as my manager because Peter Dinklage wanted to play Brad Williams.
Oh, Jesus.
Peter Dinklage is like, no, this is the part I want. I'm tired of swinging an axe. I want to go on stage and tell some jokes. And Barry's like, no. Oh, man, I got the perfect guy to play Brad Williams. Brad freaking Williams. I can get him for you, man.
He's undeniable, man.
He's undeniable. He creates holy shit moments.
So what did you do? What's your...
I do stand-up. I just come in and I play myself and I do stand-up. And I think what they're doing is the movie Road Hard is about Adam Carolla's character, who is a comic that has a huge sitcom that goes off the air. So now the guy that has all the money and all the great life has to go back on the road and back to the shitty comedy clubs.
Nice.
He's going through a divorce, so he's got to like
always a nice twist.
Yeah, fund the wife's new boyfriend and all that jazz.
That's a nice actually added piece of the story because what a lot of people don't realize they probably do realize with the stand-up comedy world is that it makes it very tough to have a relationship.
Absolutely.
And relationships in general. That's why a lot of our friends are comics, because people get what we're going through. That's why a lot of celebrities date other celebrities. It ends up not working out. Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin from Coldplay. But
can we light an extra candle for them? I mean, for their conscious uncoupling or whatever the hell that term was.
Look at the stars. Look at the stars. Dude, she's got to be so upset when she hears his music now. That's the thing. It's like, if you're going to date a rock star, date somebody who sucks and whose music isn't everywhere. On Mac commercials.
Yeah.
On fucking... other stuff.
Here you are trying to enjoy your Jell-O pudding commercial, and all of a sudden Coldplay comes in the background. You're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, and that would just suck. That's why, Adam. I mean, don't get me wrong. Constant A-list actresses and singers are trying to date me.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm turning them down.
Like Annie Lennox.
Like, obviously, Annie Lennox.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks.
I can't tell you how many times Annie Lennox has sent you voicemails of her just going, she's like, Brad, if you call me back.
I want dwarf penis
in my mouth tonight.
I mean, that's the noise that you can get her to make.
No, that's hopefully. No, she calls you and goes, Brad, if you call me back, I will all over your cock.
Hashtag for the episode, all over your cock.
Oh, that's a long hashtag.
It's a long hashtag, not quite sure how to spell it, but get creative, listeners. We have faith in you.
But it really is a tough thing to do as you're doing it now and making it work, but it's not easy.
No.
And I did it, and it didn't work. So proof in the pudding. But so you do stand-up, and how does that play into the film?
It plays in because they're showing sort of like a sort of mega mix of in between Adam doing his stand-up, they like cut to comics that are doing it, and real comics. There's a bunch of comics that are in this movie.
Nice.
I know our buddy Jay Moore is making a cameo. Wonderful. As well. Quite a few people making a cameo. So
any Rita Rudner sightings?
Oh, God. Yes. Well, she was... No, but I. You know who actually is in the movie? Judy Tenuta.
Who?
Right?
By the way, that's the first time I've ever made that noise, and I love that it was in response to
Judy Tenuta.
Who? If we get to the point where we have sound effects and somebody's like on our producer, that's going to have to be a sound effect of me going, who? So anytime something exciting
is like halfway excited, halfway who the hell is that?
Exactly. Halfway
who?
I'm compensating by my lack of knowledge of this person.
Sure. Judy Tenuta, comic in the 80s, had an accordion on stage.
Ooh.
that gets us all tingling in our nether regions.
That's adult Pillsbury Doughboy. But not him getting poked in the stomach, him getting fingered in the ass.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah. If they could do a behind the music,
yeah,
the Pillsbury Doughboy,
yeah, well, yeah, what seemed like a nice crescent roll was actually three fingers deep. He had a family,
and then the Pillsbury Doughboy became a drug runner for the Colombian cartels. Yeah, I would stuff about 20
kilos of Coke into those croissants. Yeah. I'm good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
But it was a fun experience. Got to do it. Got to shoot also at Flappers Comedy Club.
Great.
And had the live audience there. And it was cool to have Carolla, because all the audience, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Road Hard movie, it was crowdfunded. Adam didn't want to pay for it, so he didn't want a studio to pay for it either or have to go through that process. So he said, hey, you're my fans. You should pay for this because this movie's for you.
Yeah.
And they did. I think he raised like over $2 million.
That's incredible.
Which is nuts. And then so people who contributed money, they were actually in the audience to be the stand-up. To be a stand-up comedy audience. So right. His fans were actually there. It wasn't just extras that subscribed to the Central Casting newsletter and were like, oh, great,
right.
an Adam Carolla thing. While they're on set, just try to hit up whoever the star is of the picture and be like, hey, so I could have a line, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And so it was just all fans. It was a really positive experience. And
so because of him doing that movie, that's why you and I filled in on the Adam and Drew show.
Yep.
I mean, that was an honor because one of the top shows. And because of our current relationship, and Drew felt comfortable enough to have us on, which I thought was pretty awesome. And so I was at a Passover Seder last night in Seattle and had to leave mid-Passover to get on a flight.
Mid-Passover. That sounds like a Tim Hardaway move.
Oh, my God. Tim Hardaway with the mid-Passover. It's unstoppable as he dishes to Mullen.
Yeah, there's a nice early 90s NBA reference for you.
Mid-Passover. That's hilarious.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway with the obvious
Hashtag mid-Passover. That's a great one.
That's a little better than the bub-a-dub-a-dub-bub.
Yeah, all over my cock.
All over my cock. It's a little easier.
Too long. But so my mom was happy that I stuck around, and here's how just Jewy the Seder was. Elijah is known as the prophet that you let in to, you open the door, and he drinks part of the wine at some point.
Oh,
it's very cryptic.
What a dick.
Yeah. You let him in your house.
He just
open the door. He comes in. He has a sip. He fucking's like, peace out. I'm fucked up. And then who knows? Does he drive somewhere, or does he just like walk out? He probably just wanders around.
Is he like Santa? Is he like going? By the way, if you're an alcoholic, best time to get free booze. Just walk around to every house.
Dressed as Santa,
sure. Dressed as Santa or dressed as Elijah?
Well, Elijah's there's no real Elijah.
Oh, there is?
You open the door and we're like, Elijah's here. And then the wine just disappears. Somebody usually just ends up taking a sip.
You got like the drunk uncle that says like, look over there. Yeah. And then just like takes the shot really quick. It was Elijah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That might be how the whole tradition started.
Yeah.
And then one drunk uncle kept getting fucked up and like, you can't keep drinking, Uncle Jay. He's like, well, it wasn't me. It was Elijah.
It was Elijah.
Who the fuck is this Elijah you keep talking about? He's the prophet.
Like, yeah.
All right. Well, that kind of makes sense.
And next time, Elijah just told me he wants some scotch. aged 15 years. That's what he wants.
He also wants some of that chocolate matzah and a hand job in the bathroom upstairs.
Elijah's very fond of Johnny Walker Platinum. You can have that in the cup next time. He says you all go to heaven if he gets himself some Johnny Walker Platinum.
So that's hilarious. So I'm leaving and somebody goes, as I'm leaving the door, they go, say hello to Elijah for us.
Oh,
I'm just
boy.
Like, oh, Jesus, this is a Passover. It was a great Seder. My mom did a great job
now,
setting it up.
I am not Jewish. Time. What's a Seder?
Not like, with that attitude.
Well, yeah, which might explain why our podcast isn't more successful. Yeah. Only one Jew.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm working on it.
Hey, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
So Passover is basically the Jews when they were slaves in Egypt. There's a lot of symbolism. So like you dip parsley, the bitter herbs in salt water, which is like dipping the bitter herbs into the salt water is supposed to represent like the tears of the slaves.
Oh God.
And you eat, tears. And then there's bitter herbs that you put on the matzah, which is to symbolize the bitterness of the whole situation.
Okay.
The haroset, which is like, this weird apple crumb cake shit that they used to like build the temples. So we eat that.
They built their temples out of crumb cake? This sounds like, oh my God. I think the Jews invented the game Candyland.
Because that sounds awesome. Oh, we're going to go to Apple Crumb Cake Mountain. Find Elijah.
Is it kosher?
I'm digging this holiday. I get to have apple crumb cake. I may convert just for that.
I think you should.
That's pretty good.
I'm also doing a shitty job explaining the holiday.
Well, I mean, I had a Jewish roommate in college, and whenever I would ask him God, we need that sound effect.
Yeah, I know.
And when I asked him about the Jewish high holidays, he would always say, well, pretty much every Jewish holiday boils down to this. They tried to kill us. They failed. Let's eat.
That's incredible. And that's dead on.
That's about right, right? Like, we were slaves. We're still around.
Yeah, they didn't kill us.
Let's have an apple crumb cake.
Yeah, yeah. Pasta matzah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, and then the matzah balls represent...
The
two of the Jews had balls made of matzah. We fucking eat them. I don't know.
Wow, crumb cake mountain, matzah balls. The Jews know how to eat.
Yeah, it was a party.
I like it.
So I left, got on a flight that only had 6 people on it. Have you ever been on a flight with less than 10 people?
No.
Then with less than 50 people.
What was the airline?
Alaska. And I go to
Alaska
the lady.
Airlines. Okay.
And I go to the lady. I go, can I sit first class? She goes, if I let you, I'm going to have to let everybody. I go, that's fine. There's 12 seats in first class. There's 6 of us on the. I go, you can sit here with us.
Yeah, yeah. Let's have a party.
Yeah. And she was like, crap. I can't do it. So I picked a row and stretched out. And
wow, 6 people on a flight. That's got to be weird.
The service was incredible, though. I got asked if I wanted refills on drinks every 5 minutes. And so we got in and then did the shows with Drew this morning. And, man, it was a blast. And then he because it just went great. And then he said, come on HLN tonight. And I just got back from that. And then I'm going to be on Loveline tomorrow for the first time. Which
is going to be fun.
I'm fired up about it. You've done it. It's a blast. Fielding the phone calls, which I did today with Drew, is a blast. But there's really a fine balance between... You know, because these people are calling in for help. These people, some of these people call in desperate, and they adore him, and they're looking for him. They're on the line.
Dr. Drew is their Elijah.
Hilarious. I mean,
because they're on the phone. He's the ghost that they're talking to for help. I mean, come on.
They don't know if he's real.
Sure.
and so it was a blast though, and hopefully we'll get to be repeat customers.
Right. And Loveline, it is hard because I mean.
People are like, if they call in, like, my girlfriend's got, 12 herpes on her anus.
Right.
And I'm allergic to herpes, but she loves me to lick her ass.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Right.
Like, that could be a real concern.
Yeah.
And you can't just be like, you lick ass, next caller.
No, you have to actually do it. I remember the first time.
You have to lick the ass.
Yeah, you actually have to lick the ass. You got to lick the ass. I don't know. Am I doing Harvey Fierstein right now?
You are.
I don't know. Oh my God, mother! you gotta lick the ass.
And
though.
What noise does a person make when you lick their ass?
That is
alley-oop.
But there was one time when I was doing the Dr. Drew podcast when he got a caller, and the guy literally called in and said, "Drew, if you don't talk me off this ledge, I'm going to kill myself."
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I'm there like I'm the comic. I'm like, the jokes. You can't do it. And Drew is.
You step back at that point.
Yeah. And Drew is such a professional. He's done this 20 plus years that he stayed calm. He completely he talked the guy down, said we're going to put you on hold. I'm going to give you my private number and we're going to talk to you and we're going to get you through this.
Holy shit.
A professional. And I'm freaking out because I think this guy's literally going to off himself on the phone.
Dude, and you're going to feel partially responsible for that.
Absolutely, because it's like I made a half dick joke like, hey, try autoerotic asphyxiation. David Carradine. What a time.
Really?
No, I mean, I didn't really do that, but like I was trying to make it light. And so you don't want that to happen. And then when I asked Drew afterward, I'm like, how the hell did you do that? He goes, it happens to me like 3 times a week.
For sure. That's a normal occurrence in his world. But you get to that point to where, he sees, I mean, like somebody called him with something and somebody had misdiagnosed the kid with, they said, your child's an indigo kid. And I step in, I go, does that mean she wants to be in an Indigo Girls cover band?
Yeah.
And the woman kind of laughs for a minute and she's like, I wish. And then Drew goes, no. And we start getting to the bottom of it. And he kind of reassesses it and goes, first of all, you got to stop going to this therapist or whoever it was and see another counselor. And he ended up getting more information and then saying, your kid has this and this, and you need to go to some. Anyway, and I'm sitting there being like, dude, you just fucking like just, I mean, got more information. He's like, yeah, but he was talking it down. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, I knew what this was. She told me this. I said, he's like, it's not like I diagnosed it. I knew what it was based on what she was telling me.
Sure.
And,
when I was guest hosting, he made a life changing observation about me. He said, Brad, I'm looking at your beard and you say your parents are from Georgia. You're a ginger.
What?
He told me I'm a ginger. Dr. Drew says I'm ginger.
What?
I don't know how to take this. I think I'm going to have to go to counseling.
What?
I don't know how my family being from Georgia makes me ginger, but he said, yeah, there's a little bit of red in your beard.
Is there?
I don't know.
Well, maybe that's a leprechaun in you.
That's what's scaring me. I don't want to actually, like, maybe all this time I've been denying my true life's calling.
So, dude, that's a great documentary. You going on a search for your leprechaun parents?
Finding leprechaun. Maybe my parents adopted me, and now I got to go back to Ireland.
That's a great fake movie. There's an actual movie like that, though. What is it called?
Where
somebody goes looking for their...
Well, their parents?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, well, Bucky Larson, right? He found out his parents were porn stars. Oh, no, he became a porn star because...
Because his parents were porn stars. That was the Nick Swartzen movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, he says I'm ginger, which there was a South Park episode of this where Cartman finds out he's a ginger and just changes his life all around. So,
loses it, yeah.
Yeah, so thinking about starting a cult. Dwarf gingers. I know one other guy.
I will donate to that Kickstarter.
And it was a very interesting observation. It's always fun. And you got to do his HLN show.
Yeah, and that was similar to Chelsea Lately, in that you have we discussed, like, when we're brought into shows like this that are news heavy, you're brought in as the comic relief. So even though they told me beforehand, they're like, answer genuinely with your real opinions and what you think. But there's three other women on there who are catfighting in these, you know, there's Drew in a box and then there's three other boxes on the screen, and you're all fighting to get your words in. And I have these jokes, and I have a problem of writing too long of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I need to have some really quick one-liners. But I'm like, if I have...
Calling the ba-dum-bum jeans.
Yeah. But if I have longer moments, I'm like, I'll be able to... People will shut up, but that's not the case. Like, I started talking at one point, they were showing video of these kids who were fighting, right? Mm-hmm. They were bullying, and there was kids who were videotaping the fighting. And... in high school, and my first thing I was going to say, and I didn't even get to get it in, because they cut me off immediately. And Drew just opens up to me right away because I was a newcomer, and I was like, "Oh, perfect! I'm going to say his first thing."
Yeah,
it's long, and I was going to say was, "Well, Drew, we live in a time where people are obsessed with capturing live moments as they're happening." That's where they cut me off. I was about to.
Jesus!
A girl immediately just goes in and goes, "Well, here's the thing," and they all at the same time. And I said,
"Holy crap!"
If you watch it, if there's a clip of it. On the internet somewhere, my face probably was just like, whoa, fuck, what?
Yeah.
Like, really? You guys were jumping in a second and a half into me talking?
So basically it was like having a fight with three of your ex-girlfriends at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now here's what a lot of people don't realize. Whenever you see, like, the talking head in the camera that's not actually in the room with the host, they have a little earbud in, which they can hear the person.
Yeah, I had a delay. I was watching the camera, and I was responding to that. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, wait a minute. What I'm hearing in my ear is happening sooner. I'm like, oh, shit. I need to be listening to that as I'm watching them.
Right.
And trying to make sure that I'm looking into the camera and shit.
Yeah.
It was really challenging. And so they cut me off. What I was going to say was, well, Drew, you know, we're all guilty of it. You know, I was at McDonald's late last night. I'm not proud of it. Did I see five drunk girls dancing in a ball pit? Yes. Was it hilarious? Of course. Did I videotape it and send it to Drew late last night? Maybe. That's a personal question. Did I get kicked out of the ball pit for joining them and fist pumping too hard? Of course I had to. My hair looks like this. The point is, Drew, these kids need to not be focusing on what is about showing the video of the fight to their friends. They need to be focusing on how to break up the fight with their friends. And I didn't get all that in. I thought that was going to be a poignant, kind of funny answer right off the bat. But they cut me off immediately. And so then I end up making a joke about how the teachers need to intervene and how, you know, not all teachers, but the old teachers. Like, if 75-year-old science teacher Miss Witherspoon gets tossed in the middle of that, the fight's going to break up because nobody wants to be responsible for knocking an elderly person to the ground and spilling their nuts or pills or nut pills or pill nuts, whatever.
Or pill nuts.
Or pill nuts.
I'm pretty sure pill nuts played Coachella.
Yeah, they sure did.
They were solid.
Pill nuts. Vicodin cashews.
But it's always fun to wear a different hat as a comic. Totally. I mean, we know
you gotta have.
Yeah, we know that we're comedians, and so the bottom line is to always be funny. But
which is a challenge too, because you're on there being like, wow, I'm getting very little time to speak. So now it's making these long. Now I abandon the jokes I've written. I'm like, dude, just react and respond the way you did on Ferguson. When I had to do the couch thing, and I had we did a pre-interview that went out the window. So now I just had to listen and respond. Granted, I had a lot more time to respond. Ferguson actually let me talk, but with this one, I didn't have three people to fight over. But it was definitely, dude. I mean, my energy rose, and I was just like, shit. It was like fight or flight, man. And and then I got one in at the end, and
there you go.
But it was it was fun. It just was like, the other thing too is it was like not a lot of time. They also went long on the show, and this was at the end, so the time for these last two segments was much shorter than they'd anticipated.
Sure, it's always challenging as a comic when you're because we're used to being on stage by ourselves when we could explore a joke and find whatever works and
not sharing the mic.
Yeah, a lot of times you get put in a situation where kids got bullied at school. Adam Ray, you have a one-line joke. Go.
Yeah.
You have 7 seconds to get it out. Go, go, go. Bring the funny. Yeah. Bring the funny. You're not funny. Moving on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And Drew is brilliant at facilitating that. I mean, not only does he have to be aware of the commercial breaks and the cameras, but then keeping a pace with each topic, but then setting up each person, being like this, and then bringing and then changing topics and bringing up a new point for discussion. He's a fucking beast at it.
He's a constant professional.
Yeah.
And you know who else is a constant professional? Craig Ferguson.
Oh.
Of which. Adam Ray was recently a repeat guest on.
I made my first late night debut. It was great. Thank you for watching. It was last week on CBS. It's now on YouTube. You can watch it on my website, AdamRayTV.com.
Woo! I feel like that was like the Flock of Seagulls edition of that.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm finding more and more when I improvise a song, I think my voice was born for 80s rock ballads. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't even get the gritty. Like, I have that when I improvise a song. I'll go, and then I'll turn into
Wow, doing a little Bruce Springsteen coming with it.
Oh, is that what that was?
I think so.
I don't know any Springsteen songs. Is
you
that
don't?
That? Well, wait.
Born in the USA. Yeah, but it's got that grit to it.
Yeah, he's got that dad who fucking who wanted to coach the baseball team, but he had a band.
But he had a band, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Well,
no, but it was. Did you watch my Ferguson set?
I did, and then I remember you called me the next day after you recorded it, and you talked about how you had a closing joke, but then.
You're talking about when I filmed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it aired last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because a month later, because the obviously, as we mentioned, interviews sometimes go. They added a guest last minute, and it bumped me. And Kristen Bell had much more of a reason to be on there and promote
Veronica Mars.
Yeah,
that movie came out.
But what did I say? I called you right after, and I was just like beating myself up pretty hard about what.
Well, because here's how these late night sets work: is you have your set and you practice it out, and no matter how many times you practice it, you can never truly account for the laughs that you're going to get, because you anticipate laughs being part of the time, but you don't want to be that egotistical guy like, all right, they're going to laugh for about, obviously, 22 seconds here. This is awesome.
You
joke.
Also don't want to allow for, you don't. I mean, I had two applause breaks, one that was long enough to where they could cut to a wide shot of the crowd looking at me, which was dope, during the dragon joke.
Yeah.
But you could tell that I responded appropriately because I hadn't planned on that. So when it happened, you saw me like naturally kind of like pause and then go, yeah. And then I had another line where I was like, there's like 30. Like, you need like 30 of them. That's too many.
Done.
And I was able to talk through the applause break. But if you account for those and you're waiting on them, then you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, and then your set was running out of time, and you realized that you weren't going to get to your closing joke. But at the same time, you did a joke that got a great reaction, a great closing reaction. You thought, well, I got 45 seconds left. I can squeeze in this last joke that takes a minute 15.
Yeah.
Or I can just tap out.
15 seconds short.
Yeah.
And I thought it was 30 seconds short, but I was only 15 seconds short, which means that's...
That's perfect.
Yeah. There was like, I didn't even practice the order so much. I knew the bits I was going to do. I had a few segues to go into it. Because obviously it's like, you know, we're doing an hour on the road. You're taking 4 minutes of that. Like, and those jokes, only a couple of those jokes I did were actually in the order I would maybe do in a headline set.
Sure.
So it's like, I was mixing and matching.
You're taking the best of the best.
So you have to find a little bit of a segue. That's why I wore the vest and like a transition to the dating stuff with that, which got a great reaction.
You basically have to make an Adam Ray mixtape. From like back in the 90s when you liked a girl and you had to record songs off the radio.
Wow. I can tell you what one of those mixtapes I had was right now.
Oh, fire away.
OMC Bizarre. How Bizarre.
Obviously.
Dude, there might have been an NSYNC song on there. I hate to say. Because you know what, man? Like they... Also, there was a girl... I almost said chick. I hate that word. There was a girl that I... liked, and she was way into NSYNC, and I wanted to know and their songs and about them to impress her. And a school dance, my buddy Chris DeLeon and I, we learned one of the dances and did it at the dance song.
Which song?
Oh, man, I think it was Bye Bye Bye.
So that, wait, Bye 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 had the fist pump thing.
But oh, yeah. It started early for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, and I was, I'm not a horrible dancer. Will you see me on backing up Beyonce at the Super Bowl next year? Possibly not.
If there's a strong fist bump segment,
if we're just
let me tell you.
Can you imagine if I started fist bumping like it, so much in my act or wherever I went that I became known as that guy to where it was like
oh that's your get her done.
Yeah, so they would like bring me in shows and just all of a sudden cut to me in a spotlight and like I would come up from the ground just fist pumping and I would just fist pump the whole time during the song and then that was like an extra added bonus as like a
listen. Dane Cook's got that suit. Super finger, Adam Ray could have the
nobody's
fist bump.
Really, yeah, because people look at the fist bump and they go, "All right, Jersey Shore," but that's a whole collective, like that's a group, that's a label. There's no one person that you think of,
right? So now, why can't you be that guy? Why can't you be Adam Ray the fist bumper?
Oh Jesus,
which sounds like a weird sexual porn name.
The fist bumper.
Yeah, I don't know. Who are you working with today? Oh, you're working with Adam Ray the fist bumper.
Can I go home? Nobody wants to be a part of that.
Nobody wants to work with a fist bumper.
But the set I think turned out well.
Yeah,
got laughs. I was happy with the jokes I did, but like I said, there were lines I thought of afterwards to close. I mean, and other little tags that you think of in the moment that I was like, I didn't want to improvise so much in the set. I had a couple of sides where I like would comment on things or I added a few lines, but it's like you also don't want to do too many. You can't do a lot of new stuff during the taping because I had to get the set approved.
Right.
So if I did stuff that wasn't approved, CBS could have come in and be like, "Yo, man, we didn't approve that."
Yeah.
Like, even if it was fine, they could have found a reason to be like,
"Yeah,
we're not airing that."
Yeah. Pulling the curtain back a little bit. When you do a late night set, you write out the entire set.
Yeah, transcript
word for word, which is always awkward as the comic because
you're also reading your own jokes, being like, "Oh God, this isn't funny."
Yeah. Oh, I've done it so many.
You're writing it out. You're like, "What am I doing?"
Yeah. This is.
I'm adding
awful.
Shit as I'm writing it, and then I'm you know
right because you're trying to impress whoever's going to read it. Like, oh yeah, but this sounds better.
Yeah.
But
like one of the lines I put in there with the Shania Twain joke when I was like, you know, so you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. One of the lines I put in, I go, you probably have sex with Brad Pitt's armpit, and. That sounded funny to me, but she was like, "You don't need that." I was like, "Yeah, I think I just added that because I was typing it out," and I was like, "Need more."
Yeah, you get bored. You get bored with your own set.
Yes,
and you're reading it, and when you read it, you know, there's none of the voice inflection.
Nope.
And that's when you realize there's certainly a difference between writing a joke that someone's going to read and find funny,
yep.
and also performing a joke that yep. you have the whole experience behind.
But I felt good. It felt good to get a late night set under the belt. It's not too bad. It's not what it used to be. No NBC executives have called offering me my own show yet, but I am meeting with Ferguson's people coming up here. So
all right.
So maybe
all right.
Maybe
this can develop. I mean, you did Ferguson. By the time this airs, my Dave Attell episode will have aired.
That's gonna be great.
And did you guys watch it? Did you see? Was it? Did you enjoy it? Did I crush? I don't know.
You guys did it in the bottom of a bar, right?
Yeah.
In like really authentic New York.
Right, right, right.
And it was Pete Davidson on my show, and also yep. Ari Shaffir. Ari Shaffir let me come on his podcast.
Oh, good.
Which
while you were out there?
No, this was a couple weeks ago. Okay. Last week he was here in L.A. We sat on the porch of the Comedy Store.
Yeah, he does it out there.
And we talked, it was great. We talked for like 2 hours. It was yeah. a long podcast.
He's got long shows.
But one of the highlights of it was, and he kept the mics on while this happened because Ari's a great podcaster and kind of a dick. No, I'm totally glad he did it. A TMZ bus, like the TMZ tour.
Yeah, always they pull up in front of the Comedy Store.
Always. So they pull up in front of the Comedy Store and they see me and Ari with the microphones talking, and all of a sudden the bus starts like. The people are taking out their cameras.
They think you're.
They're taking pictures of me. And the guy runs off the bus and he comes up to me and says, "Dude, we know who you are. Could you just come on the bus and could you say hi to the people and like say and just say what's up to them and add like some legitimacy to our tour?"
Now you know who they think you are at this point.
No, because he says. And we all think you're hilarious and comic. You hear hilarious, you're like, oh, obviously me. Talking about yeah. me. I'm hilarious. That's my fucking job. So we start walking towards the bus, and I get one step on the bus, and the bus driver just goes, "Hey, everyone, Wee Man from Jackass.
Of course.
Son of a bitch." Yeah,
but that's not the first time that's happened.
Well, on the TMZ bus, it is. To have like your ego stroked, like, yeah, I'm on Sunset Boulevard. I'm getting recognized. I'm going to come off this bus and there's going to be 1,000 blowjobs just waiting for me. Because that's what happens to people. They get recognized on Sunset Boulevard. 1,000 blowjobs. Happen to Vince Neil. Happen to David Lee Roth. Obviously going to happen to me.
Yeah. Bonaducci.
1,000. Amateur hour.
Yeah. Wait, so what?
That was an hour.
So, all right. So you disappointed these people or you committed to the
law? Oh, I fully disappointed them.
Good for you, man. Yeah. At this point, you have to.
Yeah.
It's also because it's like, because A, it's like, fuck you. I'm right. not that guy.
Right.
We don't all look alike.
Sure.
And B, you're like, I'm actually coming up. So,
yeah.
you I'm all going to take this opportunity to introduce you to me.
Yeah.
Right? And, what'd you do?
That's pretty
go, actually,
much.
I'm Brad Williams, blah, blah, blah. Insert yeah. funny joke to make them go, oh, what's your Twitter handle?
Brad,
oh,
funny Brad. I should follow you. Okay.
Right?
Gain 10 more fans. What's up, TMZ bus?
Is that what you did?
Yeah.
Good.
Threw it out there. There was two ego check moments like that. There was that moment, and then I had to bring my computer in to get repaired to the Apple Store. Brought it to the Brea Mall, which is my home mall where I've been born and raised whole life, and they hear me on K-Rock a lot.
So have you seen people at this mall, by the way, that are still working there, that worked there when you grew up?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Which I know I used to work at that mall.
As what?
As what, like a character?
No, I mean like as a...
As what?
Were you dressed as a Wetzel pretzel? Is it Wetzel or Wetzel?
I was the hot dog on the stick.
Hilarious.
My actual job at the Brea Mall, I worked at Hot Topic.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, we've discussed this.
Yeah, I was a sales manager at Hot Topic. I dressed pretty much like I dress now. And they thought, like, well, we have guys with huge holes in their ears and tattoos and pink hair, but you're a dwarf wearing Abercrombie and Fitch shirts. Weird enough.
Yeah.
Done. You can work here. And, yeah, I still run into those people. I brought my computer to the Apple Store. And the guy, the genius that was helping me goes, oh, and what's your... And,
He worked at the Genius Bar.
Okay, sorry.
His name is Greg. He used to be an accountant.
And now he
knows how to copy and paste.
And now he wears a blue shirt to work. And now,
those guys
home.
Are pretty smart. But genius, let's, you know.
Yeah, let's back off. Apple aficionado.
Have they ever done anything to ever make you go, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like, you're in the presence of a fucking... legend.
When they taught me how to hide my porn.
Are you serious?
That was like, this has changed
right,
my life.
Now that is genius.
That is genius.
Well, do you want to share with the viewers?
Fuck no.
Wait, a guy at the Genius Bar
taught me how to hide porn.
Now, did he see it on your desktop and he was like, hey man, just so you know, or were you like, hey, here's my concern?
There may have been a folder labeled Brad's porn.
Jesus.
Well,
that's not a genius move.
Because I'm amateur.
Brad's porn. Jesus.
I like that. I like how he said Brad's porn. Like,
Brad's titty pick collection.
Like, I'm never going to see the folder. Like, I'm not going to recognize it. I'm going to have, like, an amnesia moment.
Yeah, why can't it just be called porn?
Yeah. I actually called it Brad's porn.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm a moron.
Oh, my God.
So I go back like, what? I've been in a coma for 6 weeks. What year is it? What's happening? I'm going to go on my computer and find out. Brad's porn. I'm Brad. That's my porn. All right.
Which, by the way, was an excellent idea for a sitcom. That's my porn.
Yeah.
Did he even have you just, like, change the name of it to something that sounded like Brad's porn? Like Bean... Bean...
Bean's dorm? Yes. Now it's under the folder.
Bean's dorm. It's a bunch of photos from Mr. Bean's college dormitory.
Exactly. It totally fooled him.
All right. So he helped you do that.
Yeah. They helped me do that. And then this particular Apple aficionado, when I brought my computer in, goes, wait, you're Brad Williams. You're Brad Williams from K-Rock. I'm like, yeah, I'm the dude. He's like, oh, man, do you mind if I get a picture? And I'm like, no problem. And then he starts... Like, he has to brag about the famous person he just met. So he's going around to all the other Apple people, go, hey, man, Brad Williams. And when he goes to the other Apple people and goes, hey, man, this is Brad Williams, they go, who?
Yeah.
And who's that?
Yeah.
You know, Brad Williams from
Welcome
K-Rock.
To Earth.
You know, Brad Williams from K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show, comedian. Yeah, I don't listen to I listen to NPR.
So now all of a sudden the enthusiasm from this guy was completely just blown out of the water by the lack of...
Yeah, so it's like, I'm making it. I'm a celebrity. No, I'm not.
That was a fun time back in the day working at Hot Topic. I don't know. The jobs in high school that you have, you don't realize how much they really prepare you for later on in life. I mean, the grocery store, Albert. I mean, also the drama. Did you have drama at Hot Topic between employees?
Yeah.
Because you realize there's work drama everywhere. People at the high end, sure. Like, even at the in Google, there's like in Facebook, there's as much drama there as there was when I was at Albertsons.
Sure.
I hooked up with the girl who ran the deli at one point, and guess
all
what?
Right.
And yeah, oh, it was great.
You gave her the old pork sausage.
wait, you're Jewish. You can't consume pork. Never mind. So she, after we hooked up and then a few times, and then I was in high school. She was like 5 years older, and I was nice. Like,
"Well
I was
done,
like,
sir."
But I was like, "This is weird. I don't know how to handle this. I'm not going to date you, obviously,
right?
But I
guess we're working in the same." And
so, guess
do,
what?
Bond over bologna.
Oh man, that's
by the way,
like a Billy Crystal romantic comedy.
Yeah, that's a new
bond
romantic comedy. Bond over bologna. Somehow Jennifer Garner is going to make an appearance.
Jennifer Garner is going to be in the fat kid from Sandlot, the redhead kid.
Love that ginger.
So it was weird though, man. Definitely, she didn't hook me up with potato salad samples anymore.
Oh.
After I didn't like return her calls and stuff, I definitely walked by and be like, "Hey, so can I get some of that macaroni salad?" And she's just like, "I'm busy." And I'm like, "Oh shit."
Well, you didn't have time for me and my needs. I don't have time to give you your damn macaroni salad.
Oh yeah.
I just want macaroni salad.
Well, that's all I wanted.
No big deal.
That's all I wanted. That was the problem. I wanted that instead of
a loving relationship that was bonded in the deli section of an Albertsons.
Yeah.
You used her to get free samples.
That and is, salad wasn't cheap, man.
Hey, man, there's been plenty of times when I've been out of Costco. I've walked by the free sample lady going, man, she has those samples all the time, I bet. Girl's got it going on for herself. I gotta give me some of that.
Dude.
And I bet you they rotate her samples. One day it's gummy bears. Next day, it's a spicy sausage. Oh, my God. This is my perfect woman.
Wow. Now I know what you jerk off to when your girlfriend's out of town.
Just
Costco sample fantasies.
Costco sample fantasies. They walk out. It's like, this is freshly brewed iced tea. Oh, I got something freshly brewing for you, sweetheart.
It is amazing when you find when they have some of those samples that you – it's like you – there's a comic who – I'm not – I can't take this, but I wish I could remember the name of the comic. But he did it – I remember seeing him on Last Comic Standing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only joke I remember, but he was like the way that people
– Mel Silverback.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, Mel Silverback.
the guy that wore the gorilla mask.
Hilarious. But the guy was like,
by the way, that's true. A comic went on that show wearing a gorilla mask.
Good for him. Where is he now?
In the discount bin at a Halloween store.
His whole body? He is?
Oh, the mask.
Yeah, the mask is.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like things really took a turn after that appearance.
Yeah, no shit. What was his joke?
So he would go, the amount of surprise in people's faces. They act like they've never seen the food because they want the sample so bad.
Right.
they just like act like they've never, like, it's the greatest thing ever. So they're like, oh my God, this is incredible. What is this, bread? Something to that extent, where it was like the foods that everybody's had, but they'll act like it's the greatest thing ever.
And by the way, I don't know why, as when we walk by the sample table, why we always act like we're actually going to buy it, like we feel bad for the person.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I need Stouffer's macaroni sausage burrito pancake balls?
I do if they're actually selling that. That's holy never. Shit.
Stouffer's has shit like that, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I just walk up like a champion, grab whatever it is, throw it back. Like, no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I just.
They can't expect you to.
I just want a little fuel.
Some of them give you the pitch. They're like, you take a bite, and they're like, good, right? You can get four of these for $2 right now. They're on sale over on aisle 7 next to the peanut butter. And they give you the whole spiel, and you're like,
right.
Great. I was looking for some turkey meatballs that tasted like chicken.
Right.
But more often than not, you take a little mini ice cream sandwich with the mini stir fry in a cup. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes they really pack a lot in that little cup.
Right.
And
which, by the way, as a midget, mini stir fry in a cup, that's my lunch, motherfucker.
Oh, dude. Did you eat a lot of minis? And with people
like, so,
yo, Lunchables must have been a fucking feast for you.
I was in heaven. I was like, look at this spread laid out before me. I am the king of this table.
Six crackers, four strips of turkey, six pepperonis, one cookie, one Capri Sun.
A feast for a king. Bring me your finest meats and cheeses, Lunchable. Thank you, Lunchable.
Oh my God, that's a great Lunchable commercial. Is you fucking spreading out like
yes,
and it's like a meal fit for a king, but it's you wearing a king's hat at a lunch table.
that'd be great. I'm just there like, I and all my dwarven subjects want to enjoy a meal.
It's you, yeah. You're the
what meal can give us such fulfillment?
And they're like,
Lunchable.
No, that's what it is. No, it's like, you're the king of the dwarf kingdom.
Yes.
Right? And so you're wearing one of those big king things, and you're on the throne.
Yes.
And they show you getting up and needing help and standing on, like, a bunch of step stools to get up to your throne.
I like it.
And then they're like, sir, tonight is the meal of all meals for the celebration of the king's celebration into the new kingdom that we've just restored, because the old kingdom we needed to be refurbished. It's a long story. We had Jerry the carpenter come in. He cleaned up. He sanded the walls. There's a bowling alley now in the basement, actually. I just wanted to make you aware of that upgrade. But anyway, what would you like for your feast? We have lamb's bone. We have dragon cunt.
Dragon cunt.
We have unicorn boobies. We have dragon cunt and unicorn boobies. Both missed out on this year's Coachella lineup. And we also have rabbits.
You're not going to top dragon cunt.
We have rabbit's tongue and horse anus. And you're like, no, none of those will do. Like, and then everybody goes, you go, what would you want? And you go, bring me Lunchables.
Bring me Lunchables with their finest meats and cheeses. Throw the dragon cunt to the dogs.
And you see a shot of fucking the court jester walking out of the dragon cunt and trying to and holding it over a cage of dogs. They're like,
which
he's like, easy.
Which, by the way, they're attack dogs, but since it's the kingdom of the dwarves, it's all pugs. Just all pugs. Throw it to my beastly attack dogs.
Yeah.
Give them the feast that is not worthy for the dwarf king's lips. Let them dine on dragon's cunt. We will have Lunchables.
And then
Lunchables.
Yeah, and then you just screaming Lunchables, and then it's a slow mo shot of you putting all the meats and cheeses in between like two big crackers and taking a bite, and then just smiling and going, it is great, and everybody cheers. And then you cut to a wide shot and you pull back and it's everybody cheering for you, and you're throwing the rest of your Lunchables crackers and meats into the crowd.
Oh yeah. And then, like Frisbees.
And then Ian McKellen or Patrick Stewart comes on and goes, Lunchables, a meal fit for a king.
I like it.
Oh, dear.
I like it. Hollywood, why do we not have more power?
I mean, well, why? Also, Lunchables is another one of those products that's like, people know who they are, so they don't need commercials. But it's like Oreos. Every 5 years, Oreo comes out with a new commercial of like, you know, I don't know, a black guy dipping an Oreo. And he's like, you know, and he opens it up, and the white guy's like, you know, do you eat the do you eat the white part first or the cookie? And he's like, Oh, you trying to say that the white part gets eaten? I don't know, man. I'm creating the most controversial
like,
Oreo.
Oh, my God. This is like Oreo cookies sponsored by the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Jesus. You know, it's a guy who's about to dip it, and he goes, and he breaks it apart. And he goes, hi, I'm Al Sharpton. When you're dipping that motherfucking cookie, eat the black part first or eat the white part. They both taste good, but if you eat the white part first, we know what you're saying.
How come they always eat the white pot first? What are they trying to say in those commercials, Oreo? We know what you're up to.
We know what you're up to.
We know what you're up to.
Hilarious.
And yeah, guess what? Now they're always changing the fillings. Now it's like, oh, it's birthday cake filling.
Oh, yeah.
It's pumpkin filling. It's chocolate filling. So it's like, so it's like chocolate. It's orange. It's brown. But you know what always stays? The black cookie. Black cookie's
that's
always
the
there.
Constant black cookie.
Black cookie. I think that was a black exposition film in the 70s. Oh shit! Black cookie's here. Black cookie gonna shoot up in this bitch. Yeah.
Black cookie, how come you never return my phone calls?
Oh, listen, honey. Black cookie don't get up early. You gotta call black cookie late in the day.
I called you 7 times last time. You never returned any of my calls, black cookie. Oh, dude, that's not a black woman. Who is that voice?
I don't know.
Any of my call, black cookie?
I don't know. That sounds almost like a Chinese angry restaurant owner.
No, that.
You never return any of my call, black cookie.
You're... That sounds like the one Asian guy in the Dwarf Kingdom who had to remove the dragon cunt. They're like, where is Wang Wong?
Where is Wang Wong? Where is Wang Wong? He's feeding dragon cunts to the pugs.
Which... That's the best sentence ever. Where's Wang Wong? He's feeding dragon cunts to the pugs.
That was one of the lines that was rejected in The Sopranos for, like, how you say, because, like, mostly mobsters say that, you know, like, swimming with the fishes, you know? Yeah. But, where's Fat Tony? You know, he didn't make his payments. So. As they say, he's feeding dragon cunts to the pugs.
Holy shit, man. So while I was home in Seattle, and I don't bring this up because you are about to enter a world of needing to impress your niece and nephews.
Yeah, my nephew is now 12 weeks
old. 12 weeks, but soon he will be 12 years.
Yeah.
And you will find yourself desperate to get his approval.
With absolutely.
My nieces right now are 4. They'll be 5 in August. And right now they think I'm the shit. Mm-hmm. I can't do wrong in their eyes. I did the move right. I act like I get hit at the door when I open the door.
Yeah.
They lose their shit.
Ah, it's the best. Classics.
I'm the best on the playground with them. We come up with all sorts of games. Mm-hmm. They still get on my back and pretend to they'll get on my back and pretend to that we're flying. I'm a dragon.
You're the dude from the Neverending Story.
For sure. They're Atreyu. I have no problem being Falcor.
Done.
And but it's getting to a point to where I'm trying to really I don't know, really hold on to this time because even at like 7 or 8, they're going to start to develop like a little bit more too than they've got now, where it's like, you know, they're not, if you want to impress them at this point, you have to do it on their level. They're not going to be like, did you see Uncle Adam had a great set on Ferguson? Or did you see Adam clear that 5-foot bong? That was impressive. They don't give a shit about my lung capacity.
You mean your nieces are not going to come to you and be like, Uncle Adam, we really liked your line about feeding dragon cunts to the pugs.
They will not say that. That would be a hilarious kid say the darndest things. Hey, little Toby, so apparently your uncle pretends to be a dragon. What types of things do dragons do?
We like to feed dragon cunts to the pugs, Bill Cosby.
We'll be right back. The fuck do you say, Toby? Who the fuck told you that shit?
Uncle Brad.
Oh, shit.
That's hilarious. But, yeah, I mean, and as comics, we're always, like, it
even
doesn't matter.
Even at that
matter.
Age, you
it
want the approval. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I'll make up bedtime stories to them and, like, make up these wonderful tales, and they're all into it. And it's like, it's still, I'm wanting to make them laugh on their level. But that's why over the summer, bought a slip and slide, and I was like, you know, this will really, I'll really get on their level with this because they've never seen it before. It was a Barbie slip and slide.
Oh,
I haven't been on a slip and slide, though, in, like, 15 years.
Right.
So I completely miscalculated the amount of the timing as far as like where to take off from.
Yeah.
So I jump like mid in the, I also hadn't realized that shit, man. You know, white man can jump. I got mm-hmm. some fucking hops.
Hey, man, quick fat.
Yeah, dude. We've talked about it before. I jump on this slip and slide over the summer. I posted a picture on my Instagram a while back over the summer. I did it. And I took off, and I'm midway. I'm halfway covering over the slip and slide in midair. So when I hit the ground, I'm basically at the end of the slip and slide, and then I just slide across the grass. And I just hear everybody in my family going, "Oh, Jesus!" And even my nieces were like, "Uncle Adam's a pussy." They didn't say that. But it was like, oh, man. Like, that was... That was a very, I'll never forget that moment because, like, they looked at me being like, I thought you were going to show us how cool this was, and turns out not only do you not know how to do this, I mean, they got right back up and went, you know, up and down that slip and slide
sure.
like it was their job.
but, I mean, yeah, you're trying to impress them, and, it doesn't matter if you're doing a packed house for 500 people or if you got your two nieces in your room. You're just trying to make them laugh.
Yeah. You're going to... I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you're doing that yet with a 12-week-year-old.
Yeah, he's not really laughing. Now it's like... I mean, okay. He did this thing... you forget that everything is new to babies. Like he's experiencing everything for the first time. So I'm just watching my nephew, and all of a sudden he gets this look of fear on his face.
Yeah.
And he's at this point, he's 10 weeks old, and we've never seen this look before, but you know it's fear. He is scared. He's terrified. And as his uncle, I'm looking around like, oh, shit, what is he scared of? Is there a shadow? Is there a dog somewhere? Like, what's happening? Why are you scared? And he looks absolutely terrified, and then all of a sudden you just hear, and he farts.
Dude.
And then he starts laughing.
Hilarious.
And because for him, it's like he didn't know what the fart was. If you didn't know what a fart was, and all of a sudden it's building up inside you, you're like, "Oh my! Am I about to explode?"
That's incredible.
Like, what's happening? And then he farts. He's like, "Oh, this is the greatest thing ever!" And then he just starts laughing.
That's the day. You need to. Oh my God! Did you take a picture of his face?
Oh, it's the most joy you've had.
That's one of the benefits of being in this era is having with the technology is being able to like capture those moments, like his first recognition of a fart. Not too many parents are capturing those moments. His first words, his first baby step,
right.
His first fart recognition.
That's huge.
First fart recognition. Hashtag first fart recognition. That's a big moment in your life.
It is.
The face that you make.
Oh my God! And that's when he first At 10 weeks, he knew farts were funny.
That's the best.
And of course, like...
That's a great sign.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to turn you into a comic, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
You already think farts are funny? Listen, we got a seat right here for you, saved for the About Last Night podcast. Little Liam's going to come He'll on this here. Thing and tear it up.
We'll still be doing it by the time he's like...
Yeah.
15. That's about the age we'll be old enough for him to come on.
Yeah.
Right?
He'll do it, and then we'll tell...
He'll be cool enough at that point.
Yeah, he'll be like... Uncle Brad, occasionally Uncle Adam.
Sure.
Yeah.
Honorary.
What's this thing that you do? Well, Liam, we come on here and we talk about giving dragon cunts to pugs.
Oh, Jesus.
And then all of our fans just love it. They cheers rise up from across the nation of all the About Last Night podcast listeners. And
what's with the candles?
Easy, kid. Easy, kid. Listen, it's called setting the mood. You're 15. Three more years, you're going to completely understand this shit.
Yeah.
You completely understand.
I'm going to Vegas.
When?
When this comes out.
Yeah.
This will be the first night of my Vegas run.
All right. You're at the
Tropicana, the Laugh Factory, Tropicana? Las Vegas, April 21st to the 27th. This is night number one. I got two shows a night. Go to laughfactory.com to get my tickets. Tickets for the show. There's a marquee with my picture, my name on it.
That's cool.
Did you see the picture I posted?
I did. Is that real?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's on the strip, baby.
One of my buddies
reposted and he goes,
great.
Elvis, Sinatra, and now A-Ray. I'm like, well, that's you're definitely putting me in a club that's
sure.
not worthy of.
Hey, I did the same thing. My first time my name was on a marquee in Vegas.
Yeah.
Took a picture of that.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Because it's also not something I really aspired or planned on. And so then you see it and you're like, it catches you off guard a little bit.
Sure.
One thing, I'm going to drink a little bit out there. I've been really doing a good job of limiting my boozing since I got back from Montana 2 weeks ago. I was out in Montana in Kalispell, Missoula, and Butte, Montana.
Butte, which
people would tell me, like, oh, you're going to Butt, Montana?
No,
and
man.
I was like, oh, they're just trying to have a moment with me and make a joke with a comedian. Then I spent a few hours there, and I was like, yeah, this is definitely the butthole of America.
You hear it's on their sign.
Oh, God.
Butte, Montana, the butthole of America.
Yeah,
Hi, I'm Wilford Brimley. when I'm not selling you diabetes medication, I'm telling you about the butthole of America, Butte, Montana.
Here's my I'll tell you who knows a little bit about the buttholes, Pillsbury Doughboy.
Ooh.
You hear things in Butte, Montana like, man, I shouldn't have driven last night. Or, did you hear what happened at that Arby's? You know there's not shit going down in your town
right.
when the action is occurring at the home of beef and cheddars.
Yes, and Pharrell's hat.
Yeah. Here's my thing. Drinking and driving and drinking and texting mm-hmm. are, to me, some of the biggest concerns when
sure.
Consuming alcohol.
Sure.
Nobody talks about drinking and Facebook post liking. Have you ever done that?
I have.
Where you're drunk on Facebook,
yeah.
and you're not perusing for old high school girlfriends.
No.
You're not perusing, looking for, you know, family members that you haven't seen in a long time that maybe have had a sex change. You're looking.
Not speaking personal experience at all.
Nope. But it's the problem is that you'll get distracted. So it's mm-hmm. like you look at there, you look at Facebook, and you're like, oh. I would love to like this picture of homemade ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look over the TV because it's 4 a.m. and you get distracted by some infomercial like, hey, now you can have a toaster in the shower for your cat that plays Frank Sinatra and scrubs your ass. And
done.
You're like, how much?
And then you take all my money.
And then you turn back to Facebook and just think you're in the same spot.
Right.
But guess what? It's refreshed the news feed.
It's refreshed.
You click like in the same spot where your cursor is
mm-hmm.
and you've just liked a status that says, mom's still in a coma, not looking good.
Oh my god, it's so funny you say that because I've done something like that.
Everybody has.
Yeah,
man.
It wasn't mom in a coma, but it was
mom in a coma. They're playing Coachella. Yeah.
Mom in a coma.
Oh god, that's awful.
I feel it's a Lifetime movie. It was
Fred Savage.
Yeah, he would absolutely be in it. It was some guy who I just friended when I was a comic, so I don't actually know him. He's just a fan, and you just friend people because you're trying to get as many friends as possible. And he's like,
God, that's
well,
so sad, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and
that's the nature of the business. That makes sense.
That's
for the
what
business,
we do.
But just yeah,
that's what we
people
do.
People who don't understand, you're like, I clicked yes because I want as many friends as possible, but
yeah.
for the sake of fans and seeing
promotion,
your posts and promotion.
Yeah. So he posted, God got another angel today. My brother moved on, and like his brother had died, and it was not.
Jesus.
And I liked it.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Because I was trying to support it.
No.
I was trying to be like, hey, I'm giving you sympathy, but
no.
then you like it.
Write my prayers. See, that's
yeah.
the fucking problem, man. People think liking shit is a replacement for actually having to say anything.
Yeah, and see, the problem was is I was the first one to do it, so it said,
God.
Like, my brother's in heaven now, Brad Williams likes this.
Well, see, that's your first mistake. You have to wait till somebody else likes it.
Yeah, so they
you can't be the first one, because then your name isn't showing up.
Right,
well,
actually, 35 people like this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that's what it could be. And it said,
you don't
want to
be the one
Williams.
Name. You don't want to be the fucking only name.
And there's people commenting going, who's this asshole, arrow pointing up?
Again, if it's like a picture of beef stroganoff, off or Chef
sure.
William, or fucking somebody's like, I combine SpaghettiOs and beefaroni.
Genius.
Brad Williams likes this.
I like this.
I want a photograph of proof.
I'd be proud to put my name on
like
that shit.
I would like and comment below being like,
this is
know.
The best ever. But yeah, drunk Facebooking is not good. It's not good.
What would you put below a photo of beefaroni and SpaghettiOs together?
Joygasm.
You wouldn't put beef a yummy. Some sort of
that sounds like an 80s kids commercial catchphrase. They would just make shit up. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figure van, it's ninja-rific. It's like, what's that
beef
a word?
Yeah, you just made up a word and now you're making me more excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, new SpaghettiO meatball beefaroni ravioli combo. It's beef a yummy.
It's beef a yummy. And now you go. And now you go to your mom and say, "Hey, we need the new beefaroni ravioli SpaghettiO
like,
combo because it's beef a yummy.
Yeah, it's beef a yummy." She's like, "My son's retarded."
Yeah, it's like, all right, I gotta sign Brad up for special ed now. He's walking around saying things like beef a yummy.
Ron, get the helmet.
Get the helmet. Brad needs one.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called, wait for it, It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.